Thank you, Stan. Hi, good evening, everybody. How you doing?
Hey.
So, who was the newcomers that were here? Who was the other one here? Okay, so who has less than 24 hours? No, man. There you go, brother.
Thank you.
Oh, wow. Yeah. All right. Hi, everybody. I'm Laura P. I am from Orchid Santa Maria.
Hi, Laura.
Hi, Laura.
Originally from Santa Ana and the barrios in Santa Ana and Orange County. So, with that being said, please understand that I am coming from a place of the eyeglasses of a female raised in the barrio in the Hispanic community. So, you know, take what you want, leave the rest. I've been sober for about 18 years by the grace of God. Still married to the same guy for 38 years by the grace of God in this program. I have three children. One stepchildren, one stepson, and he's 47. I've had him since he was 5, and he's an ex-drug addict. I have two children, biological children, young ladies, 35 and 34. Ooh, I just dated myself. I am. I started when I was, no, I didn't. So I walk because I get excited, walk around. So I have one that's okay and one that's still mad at me. And it's okay. It's okay. She has to process her way. So I came into the program willingly. I kind of feel like my story is boring because how I got here was I wasn't tased. I didn't have silver bracelets. I didn't have any of that stuff. But no worries, it would have came because I could not control my drinking. I used to think that how many bottles of wine was a timer for how long it was going to take for dinner. My kids wouldn't eat till like 8 o'clock, 8:30 at night. That's not okay. So, and oh, by the way, I've worked full-time my whole life. I'm also a workaholic, and I'm still working on that one. So, with that being said, my family is still healing, but my life will be better today than it was when I was drinking. My worst day drinking is nothing compared to my good life nowadays today. I'm going to disclose today I'm a little tired. I drove from Corona, Southern California this morning. I was in Victorville before that and left on Tuesday night and was on the road driving and learning new things. I got a new job. So, I'm 66 years old, and my husband thinks I'm going to retire. Bless his heart. He's retired. He's been retired for 3 or 4 years now. So we're really blessed. So my story starts with quickly. I was raised in the barrios in Santa Ana. My dad was an alcoholic, and my mom was an angry, codependent, untreated. My father died from alcoholism. He died of liver disease at 72. I'm still mad at him for it. My mom was angry, and the focus was my dad. Oh, and by the way, I have a brother, and then there's me, and then there's the chiquilla, my sister. So just to get the dynamics. Because there's a lot of family of origin stuff, they call it, you know, in recovery, in therapy, you know, family of origin, you know, it has a lot of influence on what happens to you or what happens in my behavior. I learned how to chase somebody into a bar and drag them out. I learned how to drink and drive. I learned how to leave your kids at home with the TV, maybe with the neighbor knowing that we were gone or whatever, just all that stuff. I drank and drive with my kids in the car. I did a lot of stuff. But again, I didn't get tased, I didn't get arrested, I didn't get any of that stuff, so my story is boring. My issues or my things that were hard to understand was, and I'm not going to go deep into it because I don't want to, but I've healed around it, is that when we used to have the, you know, the parties in the garages and stuff like that, as a little girl growing up, and my parents were drinking and everybody was drunk, I was molested in the back of the house by somebody. And that's all I'm going to say. So some of that affects me even as an adult today. So if somebody talks to me, I have beer breath, and they're telling me how pretty I am, she has here, she can't hear, right? It's get the fuck away from me. I don't like it, even today. But I've healed around. I've gone to therapy. I can't read. Spent thousands of dollars to say, you know what? Shit happens. Hurt people, right? So for all of us out there that have that kind of history, there is a way to heal around it. There is a way to heal around it. And we never forget, but life is better today. And like I said, I've been married to the same man for 38 years. So there is possibilities in life. My other trauma as a child was, and you know, before the parties and the backyard stuff and, you know, the dancing and all that, there would be a slaughtering of a pig because they're going to make chicharrones. And I remember as a little girl looking over the fence, watching them doing that stuff to the pig because they were going to eat it later. But that's what we did. But I was so horrified. I've never forgotten that. And it traumatized me. But that was life. That was, that, you know, well, couldn't you just shoot it and let it, you know, why were you bleeding it and all that stuff? Anyway, so some of those things are what they call the PTSD. That's trauma. Well, that was normal for us, but I didn't know it was trauma till later on in my life when, you know, I can't stand abuse. I can't even watch the commercials on TV with animals being abused. Nevertheless, children. But then again, some of that as I went on to my other trauma in my life as a 19-year-old, when I was young and pretty, I had a boyfriend that I loved. I loved him so much. Oh, you guys, I loved him so much. Stan, you know. High school, and you know, your first love and all this shit. And then after we got intimate and started being active, then he started loving me by beating me up. Trauma. Fortunately, you know, he didn't leave marks on my face. It was just on my body. You know, throwing me up against the wall. You know, and Glenn's probably going, I can't imagine anybody doing that to you, Laura, because he knows today I would not tolerate that at all in my life. So love is not being beat up. And fortunately for me, my story about that kind of abuse was my dad never spanked us, even though we lived in a span. And he got the cinto out. How do you say cinto in English? The belt. The belt. He spanked us maybe once, and that was it. My dad was not abusive that way. Our abuse was abandonment. He just would disappear and not come home. So I was able to click and go, hey, wait, my dad doesn't even treat me like this. Why am I letting this guy do this to me? And I really think that was a higher power. I really do. Plus, you know, the embarrassment, the shame, because I'd have marks on my arms, you know, grip marks, bruises, you know. He never did my face, thank God. I didn't want anything to happen to my teeth. But that's, you know, that's another trauma. And fortunately, I got out of that relationship. And that's actually how I ended up here on the Central Coast. I left Santa Ana. I escaped, literally escaped. Oh, yeah, by the way, he would make me stay in the room and not come out. I think that's called, what do they call that? That's an offense now. I don't know. I asked my daughter. She's in law enforcement.
Hostage
or whatever, you know. You can't come out. You can't go anywhere. You can't do anything. And I was like, pendeja. Okay. So, but you know, I was young and dumb. I was young and dumb. And I just loved him. I loved him, and I can change him. I can love him enough that he's not, that's not going to happen anymore. Right? So it got so bad that I left, and I moved up to Templeton and escaped. And guess what? He tracked me down.
Oh, shit.
I was over there working at a little job. you know, doing it. And he showed up at the door, and the look on my face and the horror that I felt. I don't know if anybody's ever felt this horror feeling in your gut. It's like, her thing's on, right? Oh, fuck, he's here. So we did this chasing around thing, and the police came and all this kind of stuff. And then I was embarrassed, you guys. I was in shame because this guy showed up at my place of business. But anyway, so we resolved that. And no worries, he finally went to prison for attempted murder for somebody else, not me. And then be known to me that he had been a cocaine addict for quite some time. I was naive. I didn't know. Oh, but don't worry. That didn't keep me from that venturing that avenue as well. But that's another story. That's another addiction. So PTSD. And those are just kind of little tips of the iceberg. And then the last one I'm going to talk about, and then I'm going to go into my how I got here, is when I was 28 years old, my fiancé. And I loved him so. I just loved him. I just loved him. He was in an accident at work. And he was driving the oxygen acetylene trucks on 166. And he lost control. And it went over on the side of the road. And it exploded. He crawled out of the cab onto the road. And somebody got him. And they helicoptered him to Marion. And then they took him to the Sherman Oaks Burn Center. Oh, but wait, I wasn't home when they were trying to find me. And this was pre-cell phone. Again, I just dated myself, Glenn. Pre-cell phone. Nobody could find me. Guess where I was, Allison? In a bar in San Luis Obispo. Probably trying to pick up on somebody else because we always cheated on each other. Because we loved each other so. So he was taken to the burn center. I got home. His best friend hunted me down at the apartment. We were living together at the apartment. Took me to the burn center. Marion. They helicoptered the burn center. I packed some stuff. The next morning, I shot down there. And he survived for 6 weeks. And the moment I walked in there, he's not going to make it. 65% of his body was burned. He was 28 years old. Martial artist, athlete. Oh, did I mention he was a drug addict? He was a drug addict. But he was, you know, anyway. So he ended up passing away. 6 weeks later, I was there every day. But don't worry, I found my friends that could still provide alcohol and drugs for me when I stay at the burn center all day long, feeling helpless, not knowing what to do, having a big stomach ache. Oh, what's it done? You know, and I still found it. Let's, you know, pick up the phone. I could find it anywhere. It was people that I knew in Santa Ana back in the day, you know. Hey, I just want to party a little bit. I know. And it was a great story, you guys. After my husband passed away, we got married in the hospital. I got married in the Sherman Oaks Burn Center. Don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. I got married in ICU at the Sherman Oaks Burn Center with the pretty paper yellow gown. I did take the head cap off because one of my husband's, well, husband number one, because I have two. Husband number one wanted my hair down when we got married. So I had to take off the little cap, you know. And it didn't match my eyes anyway, so I didn't like it. So I wore my hair down, and we had the ceremony there at the burn center. Because there was a legal lawsuit going on as well. The accident was in a work truck. Exiting Shondling, you know, he drank the big truck. So anyway, so that's the other PTSD thing that I had in my life that I got to work through. Notice I said I got to work through. Because it was just horrible. And you know, sometimes when I think about it, I still get that stomach ache thing. I don't think about it because I heal around it. So those are the things that, some of the couple things that dabbling to understand, even though I didn't get tased and I don't have really good drunk driving stories, any of that, I have some real life trauma that happened to me that promoted my drinking. And then when I discovered drinking, it numbed me out because I don't like to feel from here down. I like to think a lot, I like to overthink, think it through, right down to P, where you think. So alcohol would take care of that. And then, you know, I could dance better too. So where am I going with this, Glenn? So I came into the rooms of Alcoholics Anonymous because I was married again, husband number two, had my children, had a great career. I still have a great career. Always had a great career. I was a functioning alcoholic. And I'm still a workaholic, by the way. And I was empty. I was just empty. Because, you know, I thought, hey, you know, if I get married, you know, like the right way, have a little wedding and, you know, and, you know, the reception and marry a guy that, oh, you know, he's a great guy. He's got calluses on his hands, so I know he works. And so my mom told me to look for a, you know, un hombre que tiene las manos callous, right? My present husband happened to be my first husband's best friend. And when he went into the burn center, we got really close. Okay. So he was the only one that showed up for Joe from Santa Maria to Sherman Oaks to be there for him. And he was there for me when he died. So there's something that, you know, anyway. So Nick and I were, you know, we were happily, you know, but I was just like squirrely and just, I'm supposed to be happy, right? I got everything. I got a nice house. I got a nice car. I got the 2.2 kid. You know, I got a man that loves me. Okay, so he's codependent, but that's why I like him. And he goes to Al-Anon. So, but we don't have any tools. We don't, you know, we're just fighting and it's chaotic. So then I decided to go to therapy because I was feeling empty. There's something wrong. Something wrong. I don't know if anybody else ever feels that empty hole in here. There's just an empty hole. So I started going to therapy. And by the way, I've been going to therapy my whole adult life in my 20s because I couldn't seem to have relationships. I loved them so. I loved every guy that I was with. And, you know, oh, this is just love. It's not. But anyway, so I've been going to therapy. Never mentioned the drinking. And then this one therapist that I had, that we had marriage counseling, we had grief counseling, we had the kid counseling because my stepson was starting to use, and there was just all this chaos going on. Oh yeah, and the blessed ex-wife that loved to show up with her new haircuts, her new boob jobs, and her shorts up her ass like this to talk to my husband. And I'd be like, okay, Lord, please just help me. Don't let me go Hispanic ghetto. Because, you know, she did it on purpose. You know, every one of her fourth husbands or fifth husbands, she gets some plastic surgery. And I'm just like, oh, bitch, you got it going on. Hair looking all haggard, you know, these kids. Oh, man. So anyway, that's a whole nother story. So all this therapy and all this recovery. So this is all happening. And finally, I had a therapist that told me, honey, have you ever thought about not drinking? Well, what do you mean? I'm not sure I understand. I don't have a drinking problem. I have boxes of wine, so you can't see how much the gauge of the bladder is in the bottle of wine. In the, you know, because I went from bottles, I went to the box because I'm a connoisseur, right? Connoisseur of the boxes now. You know, went from the White Zinfandel to the Chardonnay. So I went okay. And she goes, so that was the beginning of my recovery. She goes, and honey, I want you to investigate it. I want you to try it for 1 year. Not drinking. Oh, how will I live? In my head, this is what's going on in my head, you guys. I'm sharing what's going on up here because I'm thinking. How do I get out of this? How do I do this? And okay, mm-hmm. 1 year. How am I going to dance? How am I going to live? What's that look like? I had no idea what it looked like because I've been doing it since I was an adult and I escaped from that horrible relationship. Well, every one of them, but the relationships. And so, and I grew up. That was normal to drink and drive, to drink and drink and to drink. And so, Sadie was a blessing to me. She was a therapist. She was our marriage counseling too, and she actually helped my husband quite a bit too. She was the only sister that my husband would listen to. She was an older woman. She was more like a mother figure to us, so besides being our therapist. So, oh shoot, Stan, I forgot where I was going with this for a second. Wait, it'll come back to me, you guys. Mm-hmm. I totally forgot about that. Happily married, not really. Oh, so Nick and I would go to therapy. I was going to therapy. She said, stop. And she goes, so this is what I want you to do. I want you to go to AA meetings and try that and get a sponsor. Well, I didn't hear that part. Get somebody else involved. I'm like, going, oh, God, somebody else I got to pay. No, they're free. Okay. So I started going to AA. I'd always kind of, to be honest with you guys, I think I had gone to Al-Anon meetings because of all these other people and all their problems. So I kind of had a little taste of a 12-step program, but not because of me, because of other people. And so I went to AA meetings, and then I had this little thing that would happen. I would relapse. I stopped drinking, and then I'd relapse. I mean, I'd go like a year without drinking. One time my daughter, she joined the military. She served our country for 8 years. But at one point, she went to Afghanistan. Oh. Well, you would drink too, wouldn't you? My daughter went to Afghanistan. Ay, Dios mío, I can't fly to Afghanistan and save her ass. They won't let me. But in my history is I'm a relapser. So the last time I relapsed was 18 years ago. And the reason I was able to not drink anymore is because I started doing the program. The program, I got a sponsor. And when I told my therapist I was ready, she says, okay, I want you to get a sponsor. But it's got to be somebody that you respect. I mean, oh, somebody I'm scared of? Yeah, because you're good with your mouth. Well, she didn't say it like that, but that's how I took it. He says, you're good with this. You're good. You got to get somebody stronger than you. And maybe somebody I'm afraid of. Somebody I didn't want to disappoint. Because I already disappointed my husband, my kids, my mom, you know, my dad. I don't want that. No, I think my dad was blind. He was just like, oh, you're good, mija. So I started doing the program. I got a sponsor, and I started doing the steps. With somebody more experienced than me. Oh, and then the Ten Commandments too, because I wasn't religious at all. Because that was too many. This is already too many things to do. Nothing on there says drinking. So I started practicing the program with Peggy. She took me through the steps, you know, even through the traditions, maybe go to book studies, maybe do all this stuff. And I was willing. I was willing because I only had to do it for a year, right? And I get so obsessive about stuff, you guys. If it's in front of me like this, okay, this is what I have to do. Okay, this is all I have to do? Okay, then let's do it. Let's do it. I'll still ignore everybody else, but I'm going to do this because I have obsessive behavior. I think they call it type A. Type A personality. So I did this, and I'm going to do this for a year. And I'll do this, still continue with the marriage counseling, with the therapist, and I'm just going to focus on me, but in a different way because I thought this was healthier. So I tried it for a year, and by the time I realized it, it had been 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years. Wait, what? What? So, all I can tell you is, you stay here And you suit up and you show up. Because that is my motto. Suit up and show up. I went on a job interview. I'm saying this because this is how my life is today. I go to meetings. I have a sponsor. I suit up and I show up for me. So therefore, I suit up and show up for my husband. My 90-year-old mother, who I just came back from visiting today. She lives in Lake Elsinore. I drove this morning here because I forgot that I had a commitment and I was going to stay down there because I had another thing going on. And I went, oh, Mom, I got to go home. I got a commitment. Well, what's that mean, huh? Ay, Dios mío, what's happening? I go, well, she's 90, so, you know, and I'm a bit much when I, you know, I'm a bit much. She goes, ay, pues, ¿qué pasó? I said, Mom, I made a commitment like a month, I don't know, whenever we did, Stan. And she goes, oh, she says, well, you just did all this work stuff, and aren't you tired? Yeah, I'm tired. But you know what? I'm saying yes to life today. And saying yes to life is scary. Because I used to talk about it all the time on the bar, you know, just sitting there. Oh, yeah. You know, someday I'm going to do that. Oh, yeah. We're going to do that. We're going to go. Yeah, we're going to go to Yosemite and have a great time. I never did shit when I was drunk. I just talked about it. I had a bar stool with my name on it at Elmer's. And we just talk about what we were going to do. Yeah, we're going to go. Oh, we're going to go. Well, let's go kick that girl's ass. Come on, let's go. Because I get mean when I'm drunk, too, by the way. Anyway, so. So I went to Corona on a job interview for something because I thought I was going to retire. Okay, I lied. I told my husband I was going to try and retire, and I lied. I had no intentions of retiring. I was just waiting for something to come up. So, because I know God has a plan, I just don't know what it is. And that's the hardest thing for me, is not knowing what the plan is. I don't know what the next... And I don't say God. I'm also Native American. So when I first came here, the God thing was really uncomfortable, but I was so desperate to feel better. I just want to feel better. Because I just felt like shit. And I was successful, you guys. I was successful to society. I was pretty according to society. I was this according to society. But I felt like shit. I was unhappy. Today, I just get a little disappointed, but I have a good time. We have a good time, don't we, Stan? We're a happy little lot. We are a happy lot. And I know still sometimes I'm much. And you know, you're like saying, no, Lord, just shut up now, okay? No, you know what? Life is good because I chose to make it good and I chose to change my life. That's the hardest part for me, you guys, was I had to change. I'm a Taurus. I don't like change. Want it to be the same all the time. And so I just invite you to open. I'm not even going to say open your heart. Just open your mind to be willing to just do the work. What do you got to lose? Really, what do you got to lose? It can't be any worse than it was, you know, back in the day when I was drinking. I look back today and you're going, well, yeah, Mark, you got 18 years of sobriety. You're just bragging about it. I'm saying, no, I don't know, you know, how the fuck it happened. Mm-hmm. I just kept coming. I really don't know how it happened. Mm-hmm. I just wanted something better. Mm-hmm. I always had something on my shoulder saying, Laura, you deserve better. And I would say, no, I don't. That's not what David was telling me when he was hitting me and telling me nobody will ever want you. Nobody's ever going to want you because you're ugly. That's not true. You like me, right? So the lies that my disease tells me, that my self-loathing, which I still love my self-loathing, I was scared shitless, you guys. Yesterday, I was filling out these forms for this new gig, signing this contract, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And I was like going, oh, what am I doing? I don't belong here. That's not true. So I had to, you know, take a breath. I said, oh, you know, I just got to go to the bathroom. I'll be right back. I paused, like it says somewhere in the literature. Somebody says something, pause, just stop. Because I still do this. I'm not all the way healed. I'll never be healed till I'm 6 feet under. But I still get crazy cuckoo. And I said, okay, I'm going to go to the bathroom now. okay, put lipstick on. Okay. I was actually in the bathroom going like this. It's going to be okay, Laura. You know what? They're going to hire somebody to do this gig. Why not you? You have 30 years experience. You can do it. You've got 18 years of sobriety. You can do it. Come on, you can do it. I literally did. That was just yesterday. Even though I seem really cool and calm right now. Right? So I just invite you to give it a chance. Suit up and show up, even when you don't want to. And by the way, I did end up signing the contract. I'm going to start a dream job, which I was praying for. And it's not about anything else but being of service. And I just happened to get paid for it. My life has changed dramatically. And again, I'm not saying this to brag. I'm just telling you, when you suit up and you show up in all areas of your life, mentally, spiritually, and physically, education, it changes your life. The program is the base of getting it together. And I'm saying this because I want to inspire you. I don't want you to, for me just to sit here and bore you to death. You know, I could tell you some sexcapade stories, but I'm not going to do that because it gets the back row attention. But, you know, I'm just saying that because I really think it's important to know that do what somebody's doing already that you admire in the rooms and stay with the same gender. Women work with women. Men work with men. In the beginning, there was some men that wanted to help me. And you know what? It almost made me not come back. I don't like it when somebody came to me, and I'm saying this out loud because you know what? We're here to be healed, and I had the wrong idea when I first came here. I figured we're all in the rooms of recovery. We're all, you know, we're all safe, and we're all this and that and other. We're not all safe. So just be careful. You know, just be careful. I don't like it when men say, oh, are you married? Yes, happily.
No.
Yeah. Get off my leg. And I don't like it when women are coming here to get dates. Because that's not helping the men. Right? Maybe some way, but not that way. There's other spiritual activity besides, you know, ooh. So, it can be a spiritual experience, but, you know, depending. I don't know. It's been a long time. Don't get me wrong. But, you know, again, I'm 66 years old. There's just some things that just aren't the same. But I tell you what, after 38 years, I'm with somebody that, you know, being content and being happy.
Okay, I'll keep it.
He's a good guy. So anyway, you guys, I just welcome you to... suit up and show up, especially when you don't want to. My husband and I were separated for a while when I first started really, really practicing the program because I changed. I changed. And he wasn't happy about it. It was uncomfortable. Uncomfortable. I don't like that word, uncomfortable. So I went to a lot of meetings even when I didn't want to. I mean, I was tore back, you guys. My hair was all, and I had no makeup and no lipstick, and I was devastated. Glenn probably remembers, but I just remember, and I was angry. That's real attractive. So I just, but even in those times, you come when you don't want to. And then you'll find a new way to deal with life. That's what I discovered. I discovered a new way of living. It's a lifestyle. I learned how to drink and be in a bar. Now I learned how to be here with you guys and socialize. I have a seat right there with my name on it. It's not at Elmer's. It's here. Right? Laura. Laura, Laura, Laura. And I couldn't do this without you guys. I mean, my God, I came from Corona. Left my 90-year-old mom. I couldn't stay another day with my mom because I made a commitment to be here. And it's not just for you, because it kind of goes like this in a circle, but for me. Because if I don't stay sober, it's fucked. It's fucked. And she said, oh, Lord, you got it all together. I didn't have it all together yesterday. In a corporate office. this little Hispanic girl from the Barrios in Santa Ana mm-hmm. signing a contract. And I'm just saying that it can happen. Don't anybody let you tell you that it can't. Even those memories.
Ah, you know, you're just a bitch. No one's gonna want you.
Really? No. So I'm sorry I'm going on and on about that because I think that's really something today that's important for me. Again, this is how I'm looking at it through my glasses. What's important to me? The males in the room may not resonate with me at all. It's okay. I hope some of the sisters in here resonate with me. And in the room, in the program, I call everybody a sister and a brother. It's my Native American culture, but also that's what we are in here. You'll notice that, hey, sister, how are you today? How's it going, sister? Hey, my brother Stan. And when people hug you in here, it's safe. Well, Stan's safe. You know, just be careful. These guys are safe. Just, you know, just, it's a place where I come to be safe. And my husband goes, where are you going? I said, honey, I forgot. I told Stan I was going to go to the meeting. He goes, oh, okay. Mm-hmm. He doesn't say anything. I'm saying, I'm going to a meeting. Oh, okay. Because you know what? I came back better than when I left. Mm-hmm. And he knows I'm going to be okay. Because he knows I was scared yesterday. I told him, I go, daddy. I call him daddy. And my kids get all tweaked out when I say I call him daddy. Is it a thing? I don't know. I'm like, I go, you know, I said, oh, I came home, go, daddy. I said, he goes, what's happening? I go, I just, yesterday, I said, but I was breathing. So, but yeah, my kids get up. You don't say daddy, mom. That's just sick. Well, you call him daddy. He's your daddy. We just call him daddy. And he calls me Spanish. So that's our pet name for each other. Anyway, so I guess my time is up. And I know some people are saying, praise God, this girl's going to be done. But I wanted to thank you for being here for me. I want to thank Stan for inviting me, Glenn for your support, and all these, Allison, my brothers and sisters in here, thank you, because without you, I can't do it. I just can't. I can't do it without you. And I want to thank you for supporting me and the club and everybody and inviting me to come today. And I got a new job. Yay. Yeah. Thank you.